Shalom, everyone. We'll be reading related to the seal of the day, and the seal of the day is sacrifice, the third seal. And so I'm going to read the story of the woman at the well and Christ, which is in John. It starts in Tablet 5 of Commentaries on St. John. Tablet 5, Chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Esau made and baptized more disciples than John, John 4:1, though Esau himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And those three are John 4:1 to John 4:3. Again Esau avoided the Jews and those who tried to condemn him. And he must needs go through Samaria, John 4:4. Samaria was the country of the house of Israel, the 10 lost tribes of Israel, which were replaced by other nations. Many Israelites had returned to their land. They are the ones, the house of Israel, who were to be gathered together by the Messiah, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, Genesis 49:10. For more detail, read Children of Abram, Abraham, all prophecies are fulfilled. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, or Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, John 4:5. Joseph, as described in Children of Abram, Abraham, all prophecies are fulfilled, was the receiver of the birthright, material possession, which was promised to Abraham by God. Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, were claimed by Jacob to be his own. Jacob's. They were supposed to create a nation and a multitude of nations, a promise given to Israel, Genesis 35:11. The two tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim, with eight others, not Judah and Benjamin, became the north kingdom of the children of Israel, or the house of Israel, which are also known by the name of Samaria. The house of Israel was captured, carried away by the Assyrians, and replaced by other people. However, as it is explained in Children of Abram, Abraham, all prophecies are fulfilled, they moved toward the west and northwest of Europe and gained many nations which are gathered as Christians by the teachings of Christ. In this chapter, the mention of Esau going to the well of Jacob in Samaria, which was given to Joseph, and also the fact that people believed in him in this land, shows the significance of the name Samaritans with the mission of Christ. They also became the means to transfer the teachings of Christ further to the rest of the house of Israel, in order for the prophecies of Jacob to be fulfilled, and for God to be glorified. Now Jacob's well was there. Esau, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Esau saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. John 4:6-4:9. Esau asked the woman from Samaria to give him a drink, but she had so many concepts which had been imposed on her by the society and environment that she was surprised when a Jew asked her for a drink. She judged him by his appearance and background. But to God and the Son of God, those in pure consciousness, all things in the universe are equal and all men are the same. That is why a Samaritan and a Jew were the same to Esau. He only loved men who were or are in their higher selves or striving to go to their higher selves. But the woman's concepts were so strong that she could not see who Christ was. Esau answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. John 4:10. Esau answered, If you knew who I am, and knew I am able to give you from the fountain of knowledge, pure consciousness, or living waters, you would not ask me such earthbound questions, and would realize that all men are equal to me. So you would have served me with great devotion, and given me the water without question. Then you could have received from me the living waters, grace, which would free you from all these concepts and would enable you to enter the kingdom of heaven, pure consciousness. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? John 4:11. As usual, like most people, she took Esau's words literally and interpreted that Esau was talking about the water in the well. But he was talking about spiritual water, the Holy Ghost. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? John 4:12. She also had great attachment to her ancestral beliefs. She could not believe anyone could be greater than Jacob. However, Jacob can be reincarnated and manifest his greatness again. Also, this shows that she was one of those from the 10 tribes who have come back to their land, because she referred to her ancestry as Jacob or Israel. Esau answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4:13-4:14. Again, Christ explained that he was not referring to the material water, H2O, but to the spiritual water, the Holy Ghost. Or, in other words, Christ said, I will open your eyes to the spiritual knowledge, and will take you from your lower nature, with all your worldly concepts related to it, to your higher self, higher consciousness, and eventually to pure consciousness, where there will be the everlasting life. This everlasting life, which shall be in him a soul, let me read that again. This everlasting life, which shall be in him, soul, a well of water, knowledge of the soul through the well of spirit, ethereal body, will lead to pure consciousness, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. John 4:15. Again, the woman thought about the material water and wanted the living water so she would not have to go to the well and draw water. She wanted some power to decrease her hardship. She did not want God or spiritual progress, but material happiness, because she did not know what the goal of life is and why she was there and had that life. In reality, she was not ready to receive the living water. So that is why Christ changed the subject. Tablet 6. Esau saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Esau said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. John 4:16-4:18. By this conversation, Esau showed her that she is not worthy to enter the kingdom of heaven, because Esau taught that even if a man divorces his wife without any great cause, he and she have done adultery, so they are not pure. Now this woman had 5 husbands, and the man she lived with at the time was not even one of them, so surely that is adultery. Marriage and the commitments related to it have a great physical, social, mental, and spiritual significance, and whoever defiles it is not doing the will of the Lord. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. John 4:19-4:20. With this, the woman became awed and perceived that he was a prophet. So she asked a spiritual question, whether the true place to worship God is in the mountains or in Jerusalem. Esau saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. John 4:21. He answered that there will be such a time when the consciousness of man will rise to such a high level that they would not seek God in any temple or mountain, but in their own spirit. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. John 4:22. He told the Samaritans they do not know what they worship, because their king made two calves and told them these were their gods which brought them out of Egypt, and then they started to worship them. But the Jews continued their traditions and did not make any image as the object of their worship. That is why they were more in tune with God's plan than the Samaritans. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:23-4:24. But the true worshipping is neither in the mountains nor in the temples. It is in the soul-to-soul relationship with the Father through meditation and the Holy Ghost. Only through such worshipping can man establish a true relationship with God and reach the truth, in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Esau saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. John 4:25-4:26. The woman was impressed with what Esau said, but hesitated to believe him. She brought up the subject of the Messiah only to mean that she will believe when the Messiah comes. Esau told her, I am the Messiah. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or, Why talkest thou with her? John 4:27. His disciples came and saw him sitting and talking with a woman. Because of their concepts, they were a little annoyed to see him talking with her. But since he was so pure and unattached in his approach, they neither suspected nor dared to ask him why he, a holy man, would talk with a woman. He was so pure that men and women were equal for him. He was in the Garden of Eden, where all things are equal in the eyes. And they were both naked and were not ashamed. Genesis 2:25. The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? 4:28-4:29. The woman completely forgot about the living water and everlasting life. She almost believed in him, because he said things about her past. She missed the truth by thinking about herself, rather than about reaching pure consciousness. So she went to the town and called others to go see him, not to receive the everlasting life, but because he told her of her past. Tablet 7. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the mean while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Esau saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. John 4:30-4:34. His disciples insisted that he eat, but he said that he had already eaten and was not hungry. His disciples did not understand what he meant by, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. He was referring to the hidden manna, Revelation 2:17. The nectar that allows people in higher consciousness not to require very much food. He went to an ecstatic state by experiencing the nectar. Those who do the will of the Father, him that sent us to the world, will be provided with this food, nectar. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. For they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. John 4:35-4:38. Christ entered into a prophetic mood. He said, Is it not true that you say that after 4 months there will be a harvest? Now I tell you, look up and see the field, the Samaritan lands, that will be ripe in a while to be harvested. Those who help in gathering and harvesting will receive wages which are the fruit unto life eternal. Their reward will be in heaven, that God and his sons in heaven may rejoice together. It is true here that one soweth and another reapeth. God sowed the seeds, and now he and his disciples would reap those who were ready in that land. That is why they were there, to reap that whereon they bestowed no labor. Many prophets and great souls had worked many lifetimes to prepare these people, and now his disciples would gather what they had done with no labor exerted. The significance of these sayings is that they had been said in the land of the Samaritans, the land of the house of Israel, the 10 lost tribes. Also, many of the house of Israel had returned to their lands after they were freed from their captors, the Assyrians. So they are the people, the children of Israel, who should have been gathered together and then spread Christ's teachings even further to the west, to their brethren in the west and northwest of Europe. Read, children of Abraham, all prophecies are fulfilled. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." John 4:39. They were so ready to accept Christ, and with the testimony of only one person, many believed. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. John 4:40. The Samaritans believed and welcomed him to their houses. They did not condemn him or ask him for signs and miracles, but simply believed him because they did not have many concepts that would be a barrier to their spiritual understandings. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the women, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." John 4:41-4:42. Also, many believed because of the truth of his teachings, not because of his miracles or knowledge of their past. They believed in him because they saw the light, and because they were the seekers of the truth. They loved the light and came to him. Again, the plan of God is clearly stated here. God had reincarnated many great souls in higher consciousness in the Samaritan and Western European areas who would accept the Christ and would gather these people under Christ, house of Israel. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Esau himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. John 4:43-4:44. It is true, those who are close to the prophet do not believe in his prophethood, because they have seen his childhood, growth, mistakes, and shortcomings in the past. They have a very hard time accepting him as a messenger from God. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. John 4:45. However, this time the Galileans, the people of his hometown, received him, not because of his teachings, but because of all the things that he did at Jerusalem. So Esau came again unto Cana of Galilee, or Galilee, probably Galilee. So Esau came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Esau was come out of Judea unto Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. John 4:46-4:47. Again Esau came to the Jewish territory, and they believed in him only when he did miracles. They were only interested in taking advantage of his powers. However, Samaritans believed in him because of his words, teachings. Then said Esau unto him, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." The nobleman saith unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." Esau saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Esau had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same time, that it was at the same hour, in the which Esau said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Esau did when he was come out of Judea unto Galilee. And that was John 4:48 to 4:54. So again, these people believed in him only after they saw miracles. They were not interested in his teachings, but in his powers. However, in Samaria, they believed in him because of his sayings, teachings. That's the end of this part of Tho that St. John explained. So for the last few minutes of the reading, I'm going to read from Tablet 10 in Essays 2. This first essay may not be as closely related to the third seal as the other two, but it's still beautiful. Essays 2, Tablet 10. Sun, Moon, and Stars. The sun is the only star which rises in the morning, so it is the morning star. It is the symbol of the highest spiritual realization. When a person becomes spiritually realized, he will be like a sun which shines and gives life to all things. The sun is the symbol of the male principle, logic. It refers to great leaders in the society, and also the father, the divine logic, the priest in the family. As it is said in the Bible and the Quran, in the last days the sun will be darkened, which is true spiritual knowledge. This will lead to the downfall of true fathers and leaders in the society. Then the mountains, great persons, will not be found, and the islands, comforters, will vanish. That is why the true fathers and leaders should also be the spiritual guides of the families and society. Moon refers to the female principle, grace. When it is directed toward Maya, a female becomes woman, Maya. The same energy directed toward the divine logic, God, becomes the divine grace and or the divine mother. Women, therefore, should receive the light from their fathers, mothers, or whoever has the light, and shine themselves. Only these women can manifest the qualities of true females, divine mother, and assume the responsibilities of carrying out the most respected position, which is motherhood. Stars are also the children of the family. It is true that they can enlighten themselves and shine. But their shining quality is dependent upon the father and the mother. When the sun becomes darkened and the moon becomes like a sackcloth, Revelation 6:12, then it is the time for children to fall from heaven also. Symbolic meaning of baptism. Water is the symbol of manifested consciousness, ether, and restless water, such as a river or ocean, is the symbol of confused consciousness or mind. Therefore, to baptize in the river by letting a person merge in it and then taking him out is a symbol of saving the person from confusion, river, and pulling him out like a fish. That is why Christ told his disciples that he was going to make them fishers of men. The feeling of bliss which accompanies baptism arises because when a person is suddenly immersed in water and then taken out again, the reaction to this act is the release of some prana from the solar plexus to the brain. Also, because the chakras become cooled, they will be quickened. Both of these reactions result in a feeling of bliss and refreshment, which is interpreted as receiving the Spirit and being saved. This feeling is intensified with a religious atmosphere which stimulates the emotions. In truth, all of these result in the quickening of the chakras, which is the same as receiving the Spirit, awakening the astral body. However, only those who truly repent and overcome the lower nature and go to their higher natures to be born again are the true saved ones. To sin and to commit sin. When a person sins and is not aware of his sin or does not see the wrong in what he does, such a person sins. But when a person sins and is aware he has sinned, sees the wrong in his action, is ashamed and repentant, and is ready to face that ugly part of the self and so overcome it, such a person has committed a sin. He has not reached perfection, but he is on the path to reach there. The person who sins is in a far worse situation than the one who commits sin. The one who sins has no consciousness of his own actions and their effects on himself and others. So he is very close to animal life. But one who commits sin knows he is not perfect, but is aware that his actions affect him and others. He can see how they cause him to go away from God and are the source of preventing him from being with him. He realizes they are the very reason for his sufferings. Such a person has awakened his spiritual understanding, and if he meditates deeply and sees his wrongdoings, they will be destroyed, and little by little he will reach perfection and God. This truth about to sin or to commit sin is shown in the Bible in the case of Cain and Lamech. Cain sinned by slaying his brother, but could not see the wrong in what he did. So he received God's judgment, punishment, and if any human would judge him over God's judgment, whosoever slayeth Cain, Genesis 4:15, such a person will be avenged seven times for his judgment of Cain. Vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Also Genesis 4:15. But in the case of Lamech, who sinned but confessed and was aware of his sin and its wrong, if men judged him harshly for his wrongdoing, they would be avenged 70 times 7. If Cain be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Genesis 4:24. It is only this awareness that causes a person, with his grace, to strive to overcome his bad habits and sins. Without it, all kinds of actions seem good to him, and he is doomed to fall into sin. This is also one of the reasons for confessing the sin. If a person feels guilty of his wrongdoing and confesses it, he then is aware he has done wrong, and so will strive to overcome it. However, the best confession is when a person deeply inside becomes aware of his vain hopes and desires, and he sees the reason for his sins inside in his meditation. By facing them this way, he overcomes them. So those who are in the path toward perfection commit sin. As no man will be sinless overnight, it needs much practice. Such a person will put all his effort on not making the same mistakes, but if he does, he should become aware of them, and with his grace, gradually reach the state of sinlessness. It is all right if a mistake is made, but its lesson should be learned, and the mistake should not be repeated. As man does less wrong, he will do more right and come closer to God, be more aware, and see even deeper and more subtle wrongdoings. Such a man is in the path of perfection, divinity. And that's the end of the reading this evening on the third seal. Shalom, everyone.